Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ahoy there.
Ahoy. Ahoy, Martin.
There he is, reaching out across the Straits of Gibraltar to Algiers.
From Algiers, across the Straits, up through Gib, routing probably mainland, maybe to Madrid.
Yes.
Then bouncing from, I don't know, Madrid to... Where am I going to go from Madrid? San Sebastian.
Oh, why not? Yes. Very nice. Up the coast, maybe.
Yes, maybe up the coast there, yes. Up the Atlantic coast.
Yes.
Probably to Calais, then down some really rubbish bit of cable.
Yes.
You know, botched together.
Literally botched together.
Patched with bits of sticky tape.
Or dredged by endless P&O anchors.
Basically just limping its way,
into Folkestone.
Into sort of like five that. Megs of feeble power in Folkestone. And then just dribbling like sorry raindrops down some broken gutter into Herefordshire.
That's exactly how I see it, yes. Anyway, it's lovely to
yes,
how goes it? What news, sir?
Well, Martin, it is with a heavy heart that I begin today's podcast, because I'm afraid all resident members of the worshipful company of wood preservers who've been staying with me here in the Holiday Inn.
Of course, Keith Mound.
Holiday Inn Express, I should add. I'm not living in the lap of luxury.
That's handy, being in an express.
I'm in the Holiday Inn Express.
What's the difference there between that and a regular Holiday Inn? It's just everything much faster.
It's actually like a no-frills Holiday Inn.
Oh, I see. God. You'd struggle to find the frill, wouldn't you?
Yeah, if you can imagine such a thing. It's like a Holiday Inn with all the fancy bits removed.
You make it sound very charming.
I'm really quite taken with it, actually. I mean, who needs a trouser press?
Come on,
guys, let's blue sky thinking.
Actually, genuinely, who does?
Well,
I don't. I don't need that and a couple of ancient custard creams. Come on. That's not a frill. That's a burden.
Anyway, yeah, very sad to report that Keith, I'm afraid, made the executive decision that they should all head home. And this morning, all of them basically jumped in an extremely fast-moving, blacked-out Mercedes van and swished off to Tangier Med, which is a new port.
What, they left by sea?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, they left by sea. They're going to cross to Gibraltar.
Yes.
And then trying to get home from Gibraltar.
Very much the rooting of this conversation.
Yeah, so we're all a bit blue here at the Holiday Inn Express, because, you know, they work a very lively bunch. I mean, I have to say, also very eye-opening, Martin. I mean, as you know, many people here have been trying to get home for weeks. I mean, literally, it's one call from the worshipful company of wood preservers.
Yes.
It's a different world. It's a different world. But you know, I feel like just by association, I feel like just a little bit of that glamour has rubbed off on me.
Yeah.
How about you? How's the, speaking of glamour, how's the world of Monge 2?
Well, I was just walking down the crops. Seeds looking very nice. They're growing. Seedlings looking particularly good. Yes, we're going to have a good crop this year. As you'll have discovered last time, my gardener, Kerry, and her partner, Cora, have...
Is that the one that looks like Keir Starmer?
Yeah, of course, she does look a bit like Keir Starmer, yes. She's got that lovely sort of ruddy health about her, you know. The only slightly awkward thing is it looks like all the Europeans who used to come and pick are going to be allowed. They're going to waive the quarantine for them. So it's going to be slightly embarrassing. Oh. And basically, I've got Kerry and Cora and I think seven of their friends. I'm calling them the land girls. And then I've got 48. I've got four dozen basically Romanians coming along. They're the usual lot. They're a hardy bunch.
I'd like to be a fly on the wall at those little campfire.
And those campfires, yes. Absolutely. Yeah. I think the Romanians won't be putting a foot out of line, I wouldn't have thought, this year. So here we are, arriving in festival season, of course. This is just,
oh,
it just starts. Oh, the rosy fingers of the summer making themselves felt.
And of course, yes, campfires. They make me think of Glastonbury and Joe Strummer in the whatever, Pentagon Field, you know,
yes,
wearing some sort of Uruguayan yak herder's smock.
That's right.
Strumming yes. away on a guitar with, yes. with hardly any lacquer left on the fascia there.
He needs to have a word with Keith Mound there.
Yes.
Certainly Keith Mound could sort him out. Yes, I know he's got sort of loose-fitting cap of a Colombian non-commissioned officer at a rakish angle across his head.
I mean, what's it going to be like, Martin? What's England going to be like without summer festivals?
Well, I don't know. Well, Hay, of course, is meant to be on right now.
Oh,
the
I
Hay
love
Festival.
Hay Festival.
Oh, I just the dear old, dear old Hay Festival.
Do you know,
dear,
I had a brilliant, Hay. I had a brilliant time at Hay with my Queen Mary's Doll's House book. Do you remember that book?
But lovely. No, the Hay. Oh, I just
yeah,
have such a soft
Hay.
Spot. My heart bleeds at the thought
so
of that.
So what did you see last year at the Hay? There was good stuff on, wasn't there?
Last year? Who was at the Hay?
David Gilmour was there. Did you see David Gilmour? He was doing
was
his
it?
Autobiography.
Oh, David,
no,
I didn't,
you didn't see
no.
David Gilmour?
Was Stephen Fry there last year doing
not
his myths,
that I remember.
His mythos?
Not that was well, no, yes, he, no, okay. yes, I think he was. He was in the big tent.
I think he would have been.
I was in the more sort of special interest.
Yes, but it's wonderful because you know it's a basic yeah. Glastonbury and Hay, two sanctioned bits of countryside that you know the Guardian and the Observer and Radio 4 they descend in their hordes. It feels so exciting.
So, what's your favourite? What's your most favourite event that you've seen
of Hay
Festival? You know, if you had to pick one out of
they're all
I
Janet Winterson, maybe Hilary Mantel. Oh, Hilary Mantel. Roald Dahl? No,
yeah, you've not been, have you?
Because it's just around the corner. It's around the corner for me, you know. So I am there. I am there. I carry the Radio 4 sort of almost sellotaped to my ear. So I am there in spirit.
You've not actually set foot in the festival
no.
while it's been, no.
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 No. No, I suppose I haven't. I had a funny moment. I was just looking at all the different people, all the specialists from one field or another
yeah.
that we're going to be talking at Chelsea.
The Chelsea Flowers Show.
Yes. I'm just going to... Here are some names of some gardeners, OK? These won't necessarily phase you, but just after a little while, you start to think, hang on a minute, Alan Titchmarsh. That's a name we've heard so many times. We perhaps don't think about it very much. Monty Don,
yeah.
Sarah Raven. It's just a perfectly normal name. It's absolutely fine. Adam Frost.
Oh, he's one of the people I watched. Yes.
Oh, really?
Very,
Adam Frost.
Yes.
Bob
yeah, yeah.
Flowerdew. And then you come to a name, Medwin Williams. Or Nikki Tibbles.
Nikki Tibbles?
That's a name. Nikki Tibbles.
Yeah.
Sienna Hoster.
They're all names of flowers, aren't
Chris
they?
Chris Beardshaw. No, but every single one of these names is odd. They're odd. They're odd names.
They're all strange names.
They're wonderful names that have come from another time. It's almost as if gardeners, for some reason, are of another plane. I'm not sure where they've come from, Craig, children. But they've got
yes.
strange names.
You're so right.
Chris Beardshaw. I mean,
Chris Beardshaw.
Andy Sturgeon. I wouldn't maybe stop to quibble. Monty Don, Sarah Raven. But when you look at a list of them and every single one, Titchmarsh.
It's quite singular, isn't it?
It is quite singular.
It's slightly chilling. I mean, I wonder...
Well, or charming maybe, but I just do wonder if there's something afoot that we haven't perhaps stopped to notice here. What it is, I cannot be sure. Sarah Raven. Sarah Raven. Andy Sturgeon. That's a Sturgeon noise there.
You know, but, it's a very interesting point. Do you think your name, Mars, I've often wondered this, do you think your name... in any way dictates what you will do in later life? For example, could Helena Bonham Carter have ever been anything other than an actress?
Craig, no, you said actress. No, actor. It's actor. Actor now. We say actor. Not actress.
We don't, though, do we?
Oh, no, 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 no. On thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. No. No, actor. Everyone's an actor now, whether they're male
or female. Because being an actress would somehow be inferior and therefore insulting. What's the logic there?
I have no idea what the logic is. I wasn't there, but clearly there was a decision taken. It is beyond the pale to say actress now. I don't know why.
Temptress, that's definitely out.
Oh, temptor. Oh, yes. Temptor. Oh, I've been a temptor all my life.
She was a temptor. And I must take these patchworthy jeans to the seamster.
Yes, what? I don't know why.
What fresh nonsense is this?
Oh, it is. I can promise you that, but you know, by the time this podcast is edited and finds its way into the ether, I should think
there will have been an editrix.
Oh, that's a good point. A masseuse. What's that? A masseur. Sorry, yes, that's easy. Sorry.
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, they've come for you, Craig. They've come for you.
The wind's caught the trouser press. One sec. I know what you're about to say. I thought they didn't have trouser presses in the...
Oh, well, because I understand. You've obviously taken Keith Mound's room, haven't you?
Exactly. I've taken Keith's room now that he's gone. Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm in the executive suite. Do you think, Martin, sticking to a point, do you think that your name dictates who you will then grow up to be?
It has to in some way. What are you thinking of?
Well, I'm thinking of, like, Sean Connery. Could he have ever been anything other than actor? Damian Lewis. There's a certain sort of punchy, can-do aura. Around some
I guess
many
you're
actors'
right.
names, right? I mean, you don't
I
get
guess you're right.
actors called Alan Titchmarsh. Though,
no.
I did see... Have you been watching this White Lines? This new...
No, I've been hearing all about it, though. Is it good? It's got the wonderful Daniel... What's his chops in it?
Yes, it has. It's got Danny Mays in it. Well, what hasn't?
Danny Mays.
Yes, well, it's a show on television, Martin. Yes, it's a drama on television.
True. It's got
Danny Mays in it. That goes without saying. Yeah. But also, it has an actress. Oh, sir! Oh, an actrix.
No, I can't believe you did that. Oh, God, on thy belly shalt thou go, et cetera,
really, you know, the lead actor is... she's called Laura Haddock. She's called Laura Haddock.
Is who?
Laura Haddock.
Come now.
Which...
See that? She could
yes,
be a gardener.
Exactly.
She
That's
could easily be a gardener. Laura Haddock.
Gardener.
This is my thing about gardeners. It's not just that I think their names made them go into gardening. I think they come from a weird tribe. They've all sort of grown up under a flower pot somewhere.
They are. There's something
pixie-like. And they've been sent by the earth to make us lovely. Bob Flowerdew. They're like people from Harry Potter, aren't they? That's what they are.
It is, yeah. It's fantasy. It's the world of fantasy and imagination.
Yes. And a bit of fertiliser. Oh, some interesting things, though. Did you see there's a podcast called Wind of Change?
Oh, that sounds exciting.
Have you come across Wind of Change?
Well, only the song.
If you haven't yet,
I know
I
the song,
you.
Which was, I think, by the Scorpions, is that right?
Yes. Were they the Scorpions or just Scorpions?
Oh.
I can't
well, now you've asked
they
the
might
question.
Have been the Scorpions.
I think it's that.
No, they're called Scorpions.
Oh, they are.
Scorpions. I've just looked it up on my computer. They're just called Scorpions.
How cool.
Not the Scorpions. Just Scorpions. Generally, Scorpions.
That is rad.
They had a song called Wind of Change.
They did.
And there is a podcast. I can't remember the name of the man who's made it. He's a journalist. He says he works on the New Yorker. I'd never heard of him. I read the New Yorker quite a lot. He's quite irritating.
Yeah.
I know from his delivery that were he and I to meet, we should not be friends.
And you've been listening
every time
to his
he says
podcast.
CIA, he says CIA.
Anyway, Wind of Change.
Wind of Change. It turns out, according to this terribly self-important man of whom I'd never heard, and a man who says the Nobel Prize, he's got a delivery that's just despicable. Anyway, this gentleman, he holds out that a friend of his, who's terribly important, he lists all his terribly important things. The only one I can remember is he works for Madeleine Albright, but there we go, terribly important.
Yeah.
His friend has a CIA friend who told him once at a dinner party, blah, blah,
this
blah.
This sounds rock solid,
that,
by the way. Yeah.
doesn't it? Yeah. The Wind of Change, which is a huge, huge mega hit right the way across Eastern Europe just before the Berlin Wall came down, was actually written by the CIA.
So what's his theory?
Anyway, his theory is that this was basically written so it could get in and would just be disseminated right across the Eastern Bloc. 4.5 minutes of pure dreamscape of them saying, "Wouldn't it be wonderful if the world could change?"
Which is a great conspiracy theory. This is the thing about conspiracy theories: they're essentially bollocks. I mean, they are fantastic stories, and you know they're bollocks because it's too good to be true. I mean, just to unpack one of the Jenga blocks, many Jenga blocks of utter bollocks in this story.
Yes.
We'd be living in a world where it was easy to write a hit song, so easy that the CIA could do it. You know, really
could do it.
You know, essentially you'd be saying, "Yeah, oh, I know. Let's write a massive hit that millions of people will buy and be really successful all across the Eastern Bloc."
Although you know the Joe Dolce story, don't you?
I don't even know who Joe Dolce is.
Who had the surprise novelty number one hit with Shut Up Your Face.
Right.
Shut Up Your Face.
Well, that was written by MI6, was it? Which international conspiracy were MI6 trying to influence with that little number? Maybe they were trying to undermine the mafia. Were they trying to undermine the mafia?
No. It's the overthrow of the Shah in Iran. They were. It was welcoming the Islamic Revolution. It was his way of getting under our skins. They shut up your face. You know, this is about the veil.
So Joe Dolce worked for MI6.
He was on the side of the Islamic Revolution. No, I don't believe he was. I don't believe he was anything to do with. I don't think he was on the side of six. I think he was working for another, altogether different agency. Yeah.
Yes, presumably the song "Don't Mess with My Toot Toot" was. I don't know.
That's right. Yes,
that was probably the.
That's about the Nicaraguan Congas, the Basque Contras.
Separatists.
Not General Noriega.
Yeah.
Yes. Don't mess with my toot toot.
I mean, it's a very potent form, isn't it? I mean, you could, you know, you and perhaps you and I could write a song, Martin. You know,
maybe we have.
Maybe we have. Yes. Maybe we have. Maybe we've been pulling the strings of democracy all along with
through music. You know? Actually, maybe, of course, now that the, you know, back then, of course, a big power ballad spewing, spandex wearing, leather jacket toting guitar hero band in 1990 or whenever this came out was pretty much at the top. You know, they were the most potent force on the planet. Nowadays, of course, their time has gone. So maybe, is what I'm saying, maybe they're trying to do it through gardens.
Of course, yeah.
Maybe that's where they're all coming from.
Of course,
Nicky
yeah.
Tibbles.
It's all about soft power,
Sienna Hoster.
Isn't it? Soft power, soft Nicky power. Tibbles. Yeah.
Soft power.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Chris Beardshaw. Yes. Monty Don. I'm beginning to see a pattern here where none was before.
Yes, let me just wander over now into my fuck the man garden. And over here I've created this little shrubbery which I've called Fuck Brexit.
Clever use of bamboos there, if I may say, Alan. Lovely. Beautiful. So this is the voice of Nicky Tibbles.
Just before we pull away from shop, can we just talk about this radio competition that there's been? There's a radio station in Singapore, a national radio station, and they do this name drop where I think it's 14 celebrities each do one word of this phrase, which is like radio gold, listen to it, it's really good, or something like that. And what you have to do is you have to guess all the names of all the celebrities that have each said a word, and you have to get it in the right order. And this poor man, Mohammed Shalahan, so what he did was, he was pretty strapped for cash, and he spent hours and hours every day tuning in to try and figure out.
He thought he had the answer.
He thought he had it. But the problem was, there was one, I think it was like the seventh word in the sequence. He wasn't quite sure what it was, but his wife said, "It's Stevie Wonder." He wasn't sure, right? So he phones up.
Yes.
And they say, "Okay, can you give us your answers?" And you know, he says, okay, well, the first one's Tony Hadley. The next one's, you know, Madonna. The third one is whoever it was, David Bowie. And then she gets to the whole thing, gets to Stevie Wonder, crosses his fingers, he says, Stevie Wonder, and then gets to the end of the whole list. And the guy said, sorry, Mohammed, you got 13 out of a possible 14. You were very, very close. So, of course, he's fuming. He thinks my bloody wife has told me that Stevie Wonder.
It wasn't Stevie Wonder.
Now I've just missed up on my chance. Because it's not just that the competition is insanely difficult. It's impossible to actually get through to the programme. Because imagine everyone in Singapore is trying to phone through to get this big cash prize. Everybody. Which is like 10,000 Singaporean dollars or something. So he keeps listening to the show week in, week out. And every time he listens to it, he thinks... does sound quite like Stevie Wonder. Anyway, get to the end of the thing.
Yes.
And finally, he's listening to the show when this guy gets through. The DJ says, okay, so who's the first guy? He says, Tony Hadley. Who's the second? You know, Madonna. They go through the whole list. David Bowie. Gets all the way through and he goes to number seven. He goes, Stevie Wonder. Goes on, all the rest of them. You know, Michael Bublé, Meryl Streep, whoever it was. Gets to the end of the list. The guy, congratulations. You got it right.
No.
Yeah.
So Mohammed's incandescent, I think, at this point.
Hopping mad.
He's, hang on, because I got it right.
He says, hang on a minute, I got this right six, you know, however many weeks ago it was. That's my that's my prize. So he phones up and he says,
why did they not give it to him?
Because they said he mispronounced Tony Hadley's name. Because, of course, he said, Tony Hadley. But they said, no, you've mispronounced his name.
Mispronounced it.
He said, mispronounced what? And they said, Tony Hadley. It's not Tony Hadley, it's Tony Hadley. I mean, you have to think the one place you should be able to get away with doing a Singaporean accent is Singapore. So he was understandably baffled and very, very upset. And what does he do? I mean, who is the ultimate adjudicator in situations like this, Martin? Who do you think you go to?
Philip Schofield.
Even bigger than that.
Oh, right. The ultimate arbiter.
He got in touch with Tony Hadley himself.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So Tony weighs in.
He tracked down Hadders.
Yes. Hadders weighs in. He took this quite seriously. Tony Hadley goes, well, Mohammed, I have to say, you know, I've listened to your case. I've taken it very seriously. We've listened very, very carefully to the evidence. And I have to say, as Tony Hadley, that you pronounce my name correctly. You know, I have to pass judgment. I can only go on the evidence presented in front of me. Yes. So I'm going to put on this little black cap and say, I cannot accept appeals on this decision. As Tony Hadley, my word is final. This case cannot be reopened by a Supreme Court. Yes. But I have to say, Mohammed, you were absolutely correct. You've got a little bit of an accent, but, you know, we'll look through that. And basically, you've got it right, mate. You should get the money. So guess what? What could they do, Martin?
Tell me what. What?
The tablet had come down.
They had to give him the money, surely.
They had to give him the money. Yes. I mean, Tony Hadley.
Did they?
Tony Hadley himself, no high...
Oh.
There is no higher authority in matters of the radio name drop than the celebrity who recorded that word in the first place. And therefore, the Singaporean authorities had no choice but to comply. And so Mohammed has been given his 10,000 spondarookies.
Nice? I think that's one. What, is that all you won? Sometimes on these competitions, you can win hundreds of thousands of pounds, I think.
I thought that's anyway, not a lot of money. And it's Singaporean dollars, so they're even worth slightly less than US dollars, I think. Actually, it's probably only about 50 quid. I think we should, you know, it's that time, isn't it, Martin? When we should...
It probably is that time, yes.
We should sling our phonic
hooks. Do up the clasps on your life jacket there.
Oh, I will.
Do up the clasps. I couldn't in all conscience push you away.
A sudden jolt of acceleration. Sure. I could go, you know, rocketing off the back land in the spew.
In the spew again.
Yeah, in the spew again, from the end.
Spew again.
Yeah, spew.
Yes. All right, well, it's been lovely. It's been lovely to chew the fat, chew the breeze. But for now...
Oh, Martin, watch friend. The boom. Watch the
da-hoy.
Boom.
Da-hoy. Oh, the boom. Da-hoy.
Yeah, da-hoy. Da-hoy, everyone.
Da-hoy there.
Da-hoy.
Off you go.
Off you go.
Back.
Onto the horizon.
Time Ghost was written and created by Alexander Armstrong and Ben Miller. It was produced by Claire Broughton and Andy Goddard. This was a Hattrick podcast.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.